Blog Talk Radio.
It was meant to kill me, sent to destroy me, and I thought that it would, and I thought that it should, cause I messed up so many times, I went left when you said right. I'll understand if you wanna let me go, let me go, let me go. But you held on to me, and you wouldn't let me go, and you wouldn't let me go, go. But you held on to me, and you wouldn't let me go, and you wouldn't let me go, go. And what the enemy meant for evil, God has worked it out for my good. What the enemy meant for evil, God has worked it out for my good. It was meant to kill me, sent to destroy me, yep. And I thought that it was, yeah. And I thought that it should, cause I messed up so many times, I went left when you said right. I'll understand if you wanna let me go, 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 go.
Morning Radio, bold radio for real people.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. What the enemy made for evil, God has turned it around for our good. And we're grateful unto him this morning that he's that kind of God, and he does it for us. We thank him today. And that one is For My Good by Todd Galbraith. Yeah, Todd Galbraith. And so I finally myself downloaded it and made me a CD so I could play it in my truck. Yeah, while I'm riding, I can listen to it. So I'm thankful unto the Lord today. Today is April the 7th, 2021. Look at this, 7 days already into this new month. God is faithful. God is faithful. And we are yet still here. We are still here being kept by his love. Yeah, the enemy tried to block us and all kind of stuff. But God turns it around. He works it out for our good. And so we're thankful unto him this morning. And we know that he's able, hallelujah, to do more than we could ever ask. Yeah, he's got all the power. And today we have a message by Pastor Bertrand Bailey Jr. And his message today is the importance of family devotion. The importance of family devotion. And we all have families. And one thing I've learned, I've heard people say, well, my family is dysfunctional. I got alcoholics. I have alcoholics in my family, drug abusers, rapists, and this and that in the family, meaning family members. But one thing about it, we only get one family. Now, I can marry into another family, or another family can marry into mine. I can adopt or, you know, stuff like that. But biologically, the bloodline, we only get one. And many times we don't like who's in the family because of their behavior. The things that they've done to the family, the whole family, because each family member represents his or her family. And sometimes it's what we've done. Sometimes we have to separate, cut off family members, you know. Many times we don't go to the family reunion and different things. But nonetheless, it's what God has given unto us. It's our family. And so we, as believers, the people of God, the saints of God, what we do is we love our family and we pray for them. Sometimes you have to separate yourself, because if you don't, you find yourself sinning against your family, sinning against God because of the behavior of the family or the family member. So what we do is we separate, but we yet love them and we keep them in prayer, because God is the one who can straighten it out. He's the one who can heal family problems. Yeah, he's the God that heals any kind of problem. So if we got a problem with our family members, we pray for them and keep going. And a lot of times today, the way that children has become, sometimes it's our children. I know it's mine. And they don't call you unless they want something. They don't visit unless they want something. And many times they're waiting for you to die. They are waiting for you to die so that they can get whatever they think that you have. And, it's a bad feeling. It's a bad feeling many days, because you see, they don't show you the love that you show family members. And sometimes it's a weird kind of love, you know. They do all kind of stuff to you, but they can't stand for nobody else to do anything to you. Well, you doing it, people follow your pattern. That's like this. If you allow people to come in your house and you treating your house any kind of way, they would treat your house any kind of way, because it's the way you treat it. But if they see that you take care of your house, you know, you don't have stuff everywhere, and you're able to, you know, keep your house organized, you know, keep your house clean, then when they come in, they will behave, you know, in keeping it clean. They just won't prop their feet up on your coffee table or on your couch. You know, they just won't go in your kitchen without permission, go in your refrigerator, in your cabinets without permission. Now, my children, if they come, the first thing they do is go in the refrigerator. I don't know what that is. I cannot explain it to you. I'm thinking they're looking for cooked food. What did she cook? Each one of them, I have eight biological children, eight. And all eight, when they hit the door, hey, Ma, how you doing, that kind of thing, walk right past me, right to the kitchen, open the refrigerator, and look. I mean, and look good, because they standing there for a few minutes, and I'm like, what they looking for? Because they didn't put nothing in the refrigerator. What are you looking for? So I said, well, they looking, I never asked them. I said, they looking for cooked food. And sometimes they may say, Ma, you just bake this chicken, whatever's in there. Before I started eating healthy, you know, I might would have banana pudding homemade from scratch with the meringue on top, made out of the egg white. And they said, you just made this banana pudding. I said, yeah, I just made it, you know, early this morning. And when it cooled, I put it in the refrigerator, you know, because milk and egg is in it. And they were like, oh, okay. Now, they may shut the refrigerator, but as we talking and whatever they come to tell me or ask me for, in a minute they say, well, I'm going to go get me a dish of that banana pudding. I'm like, okay, you didn't fry no chicken or nothing? I'm like, no, I, you know, made the banana pudding because it take more time. And I cook later on, you know, to have it for my dessert for dinner. And it's like, oh, I'm going to try not to get too much of it because I see you didn't make a whole lot. No, I just made enough for me, you know, but I don't understand it. But that's what they do. And they're always looking for homemade biscuits. You didn't make no biscuits? No, nobody here but me. I'm not making two biscuits, you know. So we know our family members, and they do different things. I've had one child call another child because this one asked me, say, hey, would you make me a peach cobbler? I said, yeah. They bring the ingredients for the peach cobbler, give me the money, and I make it. They come and pick it up and take it home. On the way home, they called one of their siblings, the one that they know has spread the word, and called the sibling and say, hey, your mama just made me a peach cobbler. So the sibling will say, well, hey, stop by here and let me get a dish of that. They know I don't have enough for you. So the one that they told no to called another sibling, because, see, that's why A called B, because B was going to spread it, C, D, E, F, G, they were going to spread it. Your mama made A a peach cobbler. I asked A to stop by here and give me a dish. He won't do it. Now, you know, that's just low down and dirty of him, greedy. What is wrong with him? Okay, then another one comes and say, Mama, would you make me a banana pudding? Okay, I make it. And that one get home. Let's say it's C this time. C get home and call B, because B going to spread the word. And your mama made me a banana pudding. Well, stop by here and let me get a dish. No, I can't do that. I just cannot do that because she made it for me and I only have enough. So then B going to call D and F and G, spread the word. He got it. Don't want to give nobody none. Just selfish. That's okay. I'm going to get Mom to make me a pan of biscuits and I'm going to call him. I'm like, what kind of family members are these to tease each other like that? One daughter-in-law called me. I had made one of my sons a banana pudding. And he called me and told me, I get off at 4 o'clock. When I get off work, I'll come by and pick it up. I said, okay. Well, the wife had the car for the day, so she came to the house about 3:30 or 4 o'clock. She was going to pick it up for him. He called me while she was there. Ma, I said, yeah, Jackie there. I said, yeah. Ma, don't give Jackie my banana pudding. I'm running late today from work. I'm doing a little overtime, and I got Bible study tonight. So when I leave Bible study, I come by and pick my banana pudding up. Don't let Jackie smell it. I'm like, what in the world? So I said, Jackie, Bree just called, and he said to leave the banana pudding here. He's doing a little overtime, and when he get off and after Bible study tonight, y'all will come by and pick it up. She said, a dirty rascal. Okay, I'll get him for that. Bread pudding. Whatever they ask for, I make it. And then they have a thing with each other about it. No, I'm not giving you none. I'm not giving you none. Call your mama. Ask your mama to make what you want her to make you. I'm like, this family members behaving like this. And then we all would get together, and I would do fish, have a huge fish fry. And they love whiting fish. So I would have whiting fish, coleslaw, potato salad, green beans, yeast rolls, you know, drinks, all kind of drinks. And I might make two different homemade desserts. And I know they coming, so it's 8 biological children. So I make 4 pans. Well, 5 pans, one for us to eat, large pans, one for us to eat for dessert at the fish fry, and each one of them get a half a pan to take home. And then they calling me back, my daughter-in-law calls me back and say, I almost divorced your son last night. I said, you were going to divorce him that night? She said, last night it was going to be over. I said, no, what's going on? She said, he had bread pudding left. I took some of mine to the job and shared with my coworkers because it was so good. And he had his, you know, whole half left, all but what he, you know, his little pieces he would eat. And he knew all mine was gone, and I asked him for some of his. He told me no. She said, and I was begging him, and he just let me beg and would not give me a crumb. I almost divorced him. I said, oh, no, don't do it. Not over bread pudding. But what kind of family members are these? Then you got the family members, they never call me, they never visit. And, you know, if I go to one house and they're having a cookout, these are the ones that bombard me. Oh, hey, Aunt Bob. Oh, hey. I'm like, you know, and then they want to talk to me, like give me a year or 6 months worth of talk in one setting. So I learned to tell them this. I said, look, Norris, had you called me off and on, or I visit you or you visit me, you know, we wouldn't have to cram 6 months to a year worth of conversation into one sitting. What kind of people are these, you know? But that's family. And so you get to know your family members. You know what Uncle Joe gonna do. You know Uncle Carl is the one that hide the bottle of liquor, and you see how spry he is, and he just laughing, and he full of energy, because you know every now and then he hitting the sauce. He taking a swig out that bottle. So you know your family members. Some family members have drug abusers, and some of them smoke crack. And you know when they done got they high, they go off to themselves, or with one more that smoke it with them, or however they do it. You know the dancers in your family, them that dance real good. You know the ones that sang real good. You know who cooked the best in your family. You know a lot of different things about your family. Sometimes family members, they the thief. They steal. And they steal from the family. And when we all get together, somebody say, oh, Jerome coming, y'all, hide your purse, put your purse up. Don't leave your purse laying down, lock your cars. Because Jerome will pick up on something right now. He still led to lift something. So y'all watch it, that kind of thing. They don't let Jerome in the house, he got to stay outside. Because they're afraid if they let him in the house, he's going to take something. We got all kind of family members. You got liars. Everybody know the liar in the family. Who told you that? Who told Gail? Oh, no, you know not to believe her. You know she ain't doing nothing but lying. She's a liar. Why would you even listen to her? Don't repeat that, she said, because it's a lie. Everybody know their family members and know how their family, I'm talking about immediate family members, bloodline, biological. I'm not talking about married into. I'm not talking about adopted. I'm talking about biological bloodline. You know your family. And then sometimes it is marriage. Sometimes it may be from adoption. Sometimes it may be a foster child. But everybody know how everybody roll. They know that one that every time you see them, they dressed up in brand new stuff. I have a son like that. Every time you see, you'll never see him raggedy. Every time you see him, his hair's intact. He got brand new clothes on. He rarely wears sneakers. Either he got Stacey Adams on or some other fancy shoe. And I'm looking. Now, what that means? You going beyond dressing to impress every day, going to work. He dressed. Going to work, he was a manager at a restaurant. Every day he dressed up. But that's from my dad's side of the family. I know where that's from. But you got all this kind of thing and more in your family. Sometimes they got the molester in the family. And the women, when they see him coming, they grab their kids. Y'all sit right here. Don't move. You stay right here because they hoping he leave. And once he leave, they can let the kids be free. And they let him come to the gathering because he family. You just got to watch him and don't let him go nowhere without everybody seeing where he's going. And no talking to nobody, kids, because everybody know him. And we know our family members. And it may have been a time when we separated ourselves from our family because of what was going on. And we were in the world and we was of the world. So we didn't pray for them. We talked bad about them, or we said this to ourselves, I'm just not going to separate. I got a family member, close family member, and when they ask her about her family, she tell them she don't have family. They all died. It tickled me, I'm sorry. She said that all her family members is dead, and she don't have anybody. I said, well, maybe she did that to get attention from strangers. I don't know why she did it. But this one young lady knew her, and she said she told her your whole family, yeah, all of them died. She said, well, I just saw Miss Ba the other day, and she wasn't dead. I don't know, Ba. Who is that? All my family members dead. I'm like, wow. Yeah, so you got all kinds in the family. But one thing about the family, the importance of family devotion, it's still important that you love your family. And now that we've come to God in the fullness, now that we are saved, we are believers, we are the saints of God, we are the people of God, we are the children of God, we may not be able to associate as we used to, but we yet keep the family lifted in prayer. We pray for the shoplifting, the thief in the family, because we know that God is able to save. We pray for Uncle Boogie Woogie. He's a molester in the family, or whatever he is, rapist or whatever. We pray for him. We know that God is able to give him a brand new heart and a brand new mind. Yeah. We pray for those children who don't call their parents, who want to use the parents. I'll call you if I need something. I get your money and don't pay it back. But if you got money from the bank, you would pay that loan back. If you borrowed money from a friend or a neighbor, you would pay that back. But you come to me and get my money and feel like you don't have to pay it back. We pray for them. Because what I've learned over the years is this. No matter the bad people do, you nor them never know where they're going to end up. I've seen people treat family members and others real bad. And the family member that they treated the worst was the one that was there to give them their last glass of water, was there to make sure they had 3 meals a day, was there to make sure they had a roof over their head. Sometimes they had to go and stay with that same family member because nobody else in the family would take them. But the one they did the bad, the worst, still loved them and said, come and stay with me. I'll take care of you while you're sick. Now, they done did them real bad, talked about them real bad. Could you imagine how that feel? Now, I got to come and stay with you. You got to take care of me because I can't take care of myself. This is why we pray and we trust God and we keep it moving in Jesus' name. Yeah, because family is important. That was the reason why God gave you the family that you have. You don't have control over their behavior. I had an elementary school friend I went to school with. And when I would see him, he was a alcoholic and he was a drug abuser and he was a robber. And, you know, that's the life he lived, breaking people's stores and houses and all this kind of stuff. And whenever I saw him, I would speak to him, hey. He was like, hey, Barbara. He was like, hey, Barbara, don't call my name too loud. The police might be looking for me. I said, well, if they're looking for you, I don't call your name. They got you. And he would laugh. And he told me this. He said, Barbara, no matter where you see me, you always speak. Of course, because I know you. We went to school together. You was on one side of the track, and I was on the other side of the track, but I knew your family, and I knew your behavior. And now that we are adults, you know, and I'm a minister, it don't stop me from knowing you or speaking to you. Yeah, because God wants us to love, hallelujah. Even those that appear to be unlovable, we're supposed to love because God is love. And we got to love these family members. It don't mean we have to be with them every day, inviting them to our house every day, and we go into their house. But we yet have to love these people and pray for them because they need it, especially the ones that we know in our families that's just dysfunctional, as they say, that just crazy look like. Yeah. My granddaughter, dad, I don't care where, oh my goodness, y'all just have no clue. I tried to talk to my daughter, she wouldn't listen. No matter where he see me at, he's screaming, him and my daughter's no longer together, but he's yelling and screaming, mother-in-law! Oh my goodness, y'all couldn't imagine. In Walmart, he yelling and screaming, mother-in-law! And people turning around looking, I'm like, oh my goodness. Would somebody please get him, please. Here he come. He on the corner with a bunch of his friends. I ride by. He going to flag the car down. Mother-in-law, what you cooking today? Because, see, he always wanted to impress his friends that I was his mother-in-law. He was welcome to my house, and he could come and eat from my house, and he was eating the best food, and I would make homemade lemonade, and, you know, she make everything from scratch and that kind of stuff. And so it just was a way for him to impress his friends. And I thought to myself, if he only knew, and I wanted his friends to know, I wish he just would not even say nothing to me when he see me. But you just could not stop him. I'm at the service station, you know, getting gas. He on way on the other side of the parking lot yelling, my law, oh, my goodness, here he go. It's a nice truck, my law. Loud, very loud. Because, see, he want everybody to hear. He want everybody to know he see me as his mother-in-law. That means that he had to be with one of my daughters. I was like, oh, my goodness. I tried to talk to this girl. Now today I'm paying for the mistake she made, her daughter paying for it too, because we got to deal with this loud man right here. But we pray for them, and we love them, and we keep them going. When Christmas come, I would buy him a Christmas gift. One year I bought him a lumberjack jacket to wear. He turning it around, oh, this nice right here, my Lord. I said, thank you. I said, thank you. I'm happy you like, oh, yeah, I'm going to wear this one. I'm going to play this one, mother-in-law. And you know what? I'm going to play it with my jeans and some Tims, mother-in-law. They're not ready for this. I said, no, they're not ready for that. And I would keep going, fix him a plate, and let him go. Yes, goodness. He wanted everybody, all my neighbors, to know, oh, my goodness, that he see me as his mother-in-law. And one lady asked me one day, she said, how in the world? I said, don't ask me. It'll take me too long to explain it. Yeah. But we yet love them, and we pray for them, and we keep it moving. Yeah, we have to separate many times. Because, see, when my family have a gathering, if it's Thanksgiving, I try to go. Christmas and other holidays, I don't quite do it. Because of this, I don't drink. Not because I'm better than anybody. I don't cuss. Not because I'm better than anybody. You know, I don't twerk and all of that. So I know this is party time for them. And those that are not saved, they're coming to the party to party. And no point in me going because, I don't party. Not in that way. So I stay home. Wish everybody a Merry Christmas and go on about my business. Thanksgiving, it won't be no twerking and all of that. I can't say they're not drinking anything, but it's more in a mild, respectable manner because they realize it's a day of Thanksgiving unto God. So we get together. I can go over and, you know, eat with them and that kind of thing, yeah. But family, they're important. And we don't have many times all the family, the type of family members that we want, but nonetheless, they're families. Sometimes we got some mean people in the family. Oh, my goodness. They're just mean about everything. Then there's the one in the family that everybody go to. Yeah, because they're wise, and they don't mind helping, and they don't look down on nobody. Yeah. So we thank God this morning for family. May not be the kind we want, may not be who we want, but we yet thank God for what he gave us because he brought us forth into this family, and we cannot change it. Yeah. Some days I have said I wish I had some different kind of kids. And then I would feel convicted. Those are your kids. Those are yours. How can you say that? Don't say that. Yeah. You know, I feel convicted because I said that. But nonetheless, I love them. And if they come to me for anything and I can be a blessing, I will. But the main blessing I give them daily is prayer. Yeah, we pray for our families. Hallelujah. Listen, Sister Ingrid have a new one out on the charts, and I think it is beautiful. And the name of this one is I Am, Sister Ingrid Phillips, and she's over at Amazon Music. And this one is 99 cents. So I went in to get it this morning. She said, please support me. And so I went in to get it, and it made me download an app, the Amazon Music app. And I'll store it in my library. And so I said, okay, I'll try it for 30 days. But let's take a listen to this one. And when we come back, we're coming back with our morning prayer. And our speaker for today is none other than Pastor Bertram Bailey. And his message is this, the importance of family devotion. Oh, yeah. The importance of family devotion. That's his message today. Good morning, Brother Perry. God bless you over there. I love good peach cobbler myself. You see Louis done put yum in there already. Talking about groceries. Louis on it. Louis on it. Yeah. So let's take a listen to Sister Ingrid. Her new single just come out, I Am. I gotta play it from here. Mm-hmm. Hallelujah. I thought that was beautiful. I thought it was a very nice song. Looks like I've heard the music part of it before, but I never heard the words. So I think it's a wonderful song myself. And if you want to get it, go over to Amazon Music and type in I Am. And also type in, I think it's Chindu Gbouf, C-H-I-N-E-D-U-E, G-B-O-O-F, I Am. And you should be able to get it over there. I think it's around 99 cents. So that's not a whole lot. And she's our sister in Christ, so we want to support her if we can. Yeah. And so we just thank God this morning for his grace and his mercy. Thank him for being on our side today on this fine Wednesday, another Wednesday God has blessed us to see. And I'm grateful unto him, excited and happy today, because he's doing big things for us. Hallelujah. It's coming our way. If we can but believe and wait on him, trust him, it's coming. It's coming. Hallelujah. So we thank him this morning. Listen, I am going to have Pastor Mark Henson to pray for us this morning. I love this prayer. And we're going to let him pray this prayer today, and we just thank God for the prayer of faith, because it's that prayer of faith that makes us whole. Hallelujah. Thank you. Praying, believing God. Believing God. Oh, thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
God, we're grateful, because if it had not been for you, we would not be here. We opened our eyes this morning, God, because you gave us the strength to open our eyes. We were able to rise because you gave us strength in our limbs and the facilities of our body. We were able to get here, God, because you blessed us and brought us the way of safety and did not allow harm to come to us, Lord. We're grateful to again come into your presence, because we know where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. And as we come before you today, have your way, Lord. Let flesh be crucified, that you might be glorified, that your people might be edified, in the name of Jesus. For God in you is life. And that's what we seek, God, life. Eternal life, God. And we pray, oh God, today that you will touch every person that have come seeking you, Lord. Bind the hand of the devil, God. Rebuke the hand of the enemy, Lord. God, let your anointing that resonates in this place even now, God, let there be an outpouring on your people. We need you, God, to take us to another level in you, Lord. God, we're faced with demonic forces, God. Evil spirits have come up against us, Lord, and we need to be fortified with your power. God, we can't make it on our own strength, God. We don't have enough to stand on, Lord. But we know, God, that your joy is our strength. Fill us up on today in the name of Jesus. Somebody have come this morning burdened down, God, with the issues of life, God. Somebody, God, is in the battle of their life. Somebody's, God, fighting in their mind and in their spirit, Lord, where the devil have come into war against them, Lord. But we thank you, God, because we know greater are you that's within us than he that is within this world, God. We know, God, that you are a deliverer, Lord, that you're the same yesterday, today, and forever. And you're no short of your promise, Lord, and you're able to deliver us, Lord. Touch us on today, Lord. We need you like never before. Fill us up with the Holy Ghost, God, and give us a refilling, Lord, that when we leave here today, Lord, we can leave with your anointing, Lord, that as we meet men and women, boys and girls, they might be converted to know who you are, Lord. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. We thank you because you are a healer. You're the God that healeth thee, and healing is in your wings, and you're able to touch our feeble bodies. You're able to save our troubled souls, and in the name of Jesus, bind every demon, Lord, every demonic force, Lord. God, that comes to keep us in the same place, Lord. We're willing, God, to surrender and say yes to your will, Lord. We're willing to turn our lives, God, over into your hands, Lord, because we come to the place, God, where we realize like never before, we need you, Jesus. More than anything we know, we need you, Jesus. While men are trying to find, God, solutions to this chaotic world, God, we're looking to you, Lord, because we know for every right desire, there is an answer, and Jesus, you're that answer. There's no need for us, God, to turn hither or thither, Lord. We need but to look for you, Lord, because you're the answer, God, for our troubled lives, Lord. Touch on the day, God. Break every yoke, oh God. Save on the day, God. Deliver on the day, God. Jesus, we need you, Lord. We need you, Jesus. We need you, Jesus. We're crying out to you, Lord. We know that you're able to save our souls. We know that you're able, God, to heal our bodies, Jesus. We know that you're able, God, to turn our situations around. Jesus, no other help we know. No other help we know. No other help we know, God. You're able, Jesus, to deliver our children. You're able, Jesus, to save the unsaved husband. You're able, Jesus, to heal the cancer patient. Nothing too hard for you, Jesus. No other God we know. We know that you're able, Jesus. We know that you're able, Jesus. We say yes to your will, God. Yes to your way, Lord. Have your way, Jesus. And we'll thank you for it. And we'll give your name the praise. And we'll bless you, Lord. Yes, we thank you, Lord. And we bless your holy name. Come on, open your mouth and give the Lord some praise.
Hallelujah, hallelujah. Ah, yeah, that's praying right there. That is praying right there for me. Hallelujah. And so we thank God this morning. Not only does he hear, but he answer our prayers, and we're grateful unto him. We're going in this morning with Pastor Bailey Jr., Pastor Bertram Bailey Jr., The Importance of Family.
Psalms 119. And I thank Pastor Perry, amen, and thank God for you, my brother, amen. Pastor Slaughter has been here every night, amen. I'm so grateful and thankful to you. I love you all, amen. And then Yates, good friend and brother, amen, a father to many. God bless you. And our other awesome preacher and pastors, God bless you, amen, those in the audience. Psalms 119, verse 9. Psalms 119, verse 9. How can a young person stay on the path of purity? And then here's the answer right here. By living according to your word. I seek you with all my heart. Do not let me stray from your commandments. I have hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. I want to talk about tonight the importance of family devotion. Amen. Repeat after me, the importance of family devotion. Amen. A portion of Greater Bible Ways here. Y'all stand up. Willie Mae, she's related to the McGuire's, Pat. Brother Barrett, I love you all. Amen. They came all the way from Mount Pleasant. So grateful. Amen. So grateful. Amen. The importance of family devotion. Miami Heat beat my beloved Spurs. They beat us. Matter of fact, they came from behind and got us. We really should have won the NBA championship. But we missed our free throws. And they came back from behind and they beat us. And I'm not surprised that they came from behind and caught us, because the last three games, they had home court advantage. I knew we were in trouble when it went back to Miami. Because we are expected to win at home. Home is where you ought to have the most love. Home is where you ought to have the most support. Home is where you ought to have the most cheerleaders. The tragedy today spiritually is a lot of us are losing at home. When home ought to be where we ought to have the most support, the most love, the most encouragement. Even Jesus had trouble winning at home. And he said, a prophet is without honor in his own hometown. You know, when I think about the Trayvon Martin tragedy, it saddens my heart. But before that was a loss of life, there was a loss in the home. His mother and father had divorced. Matter of fact, the day he was shot, he was headed to his father's fiance's house. And I can't help but wonder, in the course of traveling, his biological parents are doing now around the United States, I can't help but wonder, did they ever sit down in private with no cameras around, no media? Did they ever sit down in private and discuss, do you think if we would have stayed together, do you think we would still have our son? Do you think if we would have put more effort into our marriage, prayed more, went to church more, you think Trey would still be with us? So I thought we need to talk about family devotion. When I talk about family devotion, write this down. I'm talking about praying together as a family. That's what I'm talking about. Praying together as a family. Write that down. Praying together as a family. All of us in this room know a family that prays together stays together. Well, if we know this, why aren't we doing this? If we know this, we all know, much prayer, much power. Little prayer, little power. No prayer, no power. And one reason why we have powerless homes is because we have prayerless homes. Matter of fact, Pop, yo, somebody cut off all the lights in here for me. Cut off all the lights in here. Yeah, cut off all the lights. Yeah, cut off all the lights. Yeah. Cut off all the lights. Now watch this. Watch this. Just because the lights is off, that don't mean the power's not here. You got to activate that power through that switch. Baby, what are you saying? I'm saying just because things is off in your family, that don't mean the power's not there to fix it. Just because things is off in your marriage, that don't mean the power's not there to fix it. Just because things is off in your finances, that don't mean the power's not there to fix it. You got to activate that power through that switch called prayer. But this, but look right this. This is how many of us choose to operate our family without the power. This is how many of us choose to raise our children without the power. This is how many of us choose to operate our marriage without the power. And you wonder why you always tripping. You ain't praying up. That's why you keep tripping. That's why you keep tripping with your husband, tripping with your wife, tripping on your children, tripping with your parents. This is why we keep hurting each other right here. Because we're trying to get somewhere without the power. This is why we're stepping on each other. But prayer, don't cut the lights back on. Prayer activates the power. Look at your neighbor and say, quit tripping and use the power. I believe there's a formula for the family altar if we will realize its importance. Because the only way things are going to alter is we got to get back to the altar. Yes, sir. The only way things are going to alter in this marriage for the better, we got to get back to the altar. The only way things are going to alter in our family, we got to get back to the altar. The only way things are going to alter in this nation, we got to get back to the altar. If my people, which are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray and seek my face, turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven. I'll forgive their sins. I'll alter some stuff. I'll heal the land. I'll never forget Pop. When I do a revival, sometimes I wear the same suit every night, like I wore this one last night. My mama taught me how to work a black suit, a gray suit. You just switch up your shirts and your ties. Especially when you ain't got enough money, you know, you just switch up them ties. And I did a revival in Houston, 5-night revival. That third night I was preaching. And I actually put my arm up too fast and it ripped right there. A button that popped off and I'm preaching, now God, trying to cover it up. I had two more nights to go. This is my only suit. I got up early trying to find the cleaners that did alterations. I'm driving, and soon enough I saw a cleaner that it had in red, alteration. I whipped in there and walked in there and took my jacket and the suit. Got down on the counter, told that white brother, I said, hey, look, man, I'm an evangelist. This is the only suit I have. I got two more nights to go. It's coming apart right there. This button done popped off. I said, can you fix this by 5, please, man? I got to preach this tonight. He said, brother, I love the Lord too. You hear me, buddy? He said, you're not the only one that loves the Lord, buddy. I love him too, brother. And for you, we're going to get her done. You hear me? You're going to preach in the suit tonight, brother. I said, thank you, man. Thank you. I left out of there. 5 o'clock rolled around. I walked in there. It was hung up in the plastic. I said, oh, man, thank you. Thank you. He said, go give him Jesus, brother. I'm going to do my best, man. Walked out of there, and I said, thank you, Lord, for cleaners that does alterations. And then I thought about it. We serve a God who does alterations. Because some stuff been coming apart in your family. Some stuff been coming apart in your marriage. But we serve a God who does alterations. Look at your neighbor and say, he can fix that. He can mend that relationship. He can put that back together again. That which has been popping off, he can turn that around. We serve a God who does alterations. And so we need to talk about family devotion. And there's a couple of reasons why we need family devotion. Number one, write this down, please. Family devotion provides communication with God. Family devotion provides communication with God. Our family needs a time of the day when we talk to the Lord. We need a time of the day we come together. And not just to talk to each other, but we come together and talk with the Lord. We need a time of the day every day. We come together and talk to the Lord. Are y'all praying with me? Now let us have a little talk with Jesus. Tell him all about our trouble. He'll hear our faintest cry. He'll answer. By and by, when you feel a little prayer will turn, and then you'll know a little fire's burning. This family needs a time of the day. We come together and talk with the Lord. One of my favorite presidents of the United States of America is President Jimmy Carter. I'm going to tell you why I like President Jimmy Carter so much. President Jimmy Carter seemed to be in touch with the American people. The thing I love about Jimmy Carter is, watch this, brother. Anytime he would travel around the United States of America, he wouldn't stay in no hotel. He wouldn't stay at the La Quinta, the Hampton, the Doubletree. He wouldn't stay at the Marriott. Whenever he would travel around the United States, he would actually stay in the home of a middle-class American family. That was his way of keeping in touch with the American people. He would actually stay with them. Spend the night in their house. Now, can y'all imagine the family that was selected to host the president of the United States of America? Y'all, we got the president of the United States of America in our house. Can you imagine having President Barack Obama actually spending the night in your house? Can y'all imagine that family? Hey, y'all, we got one of the most powerful men in the world in our house.
All right, all right.
He in our bedroom. He using our facility. That was the president. That was the president. He got gas.
Some of y'all so holy, y'all can't even smile. I'm selling that commode on eBay. The president used that commode.
Can you imagine the joy that was in that house here in that kitchen?
And y'all know that family had a time of the day when they came together
and met with the president. They brought the babies in there. Can you take president? That's the president. Yes, it is. Yes, it is. Yes, it is. Go on, hold it, bro, president. Go on.
Y'all know they had a time where they talked with the president and heard from the president? Bailey, what's your point? My point is we got somebody in our house who got all power, heaven and earth in his hand. We got somebody in our house that was born in poverty. Wise men brought riches to the lowliness of his cradle. We got somebody in our house that was born a helpless baby, but yet spoke spinning worlds into existence and sustains the mighty pillars of the universe by his own word. We got somebody in our house who was cradled in somebody else's crib, sailed in somebody else's boat, rode somebody else's animal, was buried in somebody else's tomb, and yet to him belong all the unsearchable riches of glory. He's in my house. We got somebody who as an infant frightened the king, as a boy confused the scholars, as a man made the angry storm be still, quieted the waters, hushed the sea until it lay down upon the bosom of his gentle command. He's in my house. We got somebody who healed all manner of diseases and didn't even charge a penny for his service. He's in my house. We got somebody Herod couldn't kill, Satan couldn't seduce, sin couldn't stand, sinners couldn't resist, death couldn't destroy, and the grave couldn't hold. He's in my house. We got the first and the last, the beginning and the end, the keeper of creation, creator of all, the architect of the universe, the Lord of history, the one who always was, always is, always will be, unmoved, unchanged, undefeated, undismayed. He's in my house. We got somebody who's enduringly strong, entirely sincere, eternally steadfast, immortally gracious, imperially powerful, impartially merciful. We got the greatest phenomenon that ever crossed the horizon of the globe. In our house, we got God's Son, the sinner's Savior, the captive's ransom, the breath of life, the centerpiece of civilization, the one who stands in the solitude of himself. He's in my house. We got a healer in here. We got a deliverer in here. We got a burden bearer in here. We got a heavy load sharer. Talk to him. He's on the main line. Tell him. I know he's in my house. Because he said, well, two or three, that's a husband and a wife. Two or three, that's a mama and a daughter. Two or three, that's a father and a son. Two or three are gathered together in my name. He said, I'll be in the midst. Tell your neighbor he makes house calls. He'll not only meet you in this house, he'll meet you at your house. It ought to be peace in this house, because he's in the house. It ought to be joy in this house. What we worried for when he's in the house. What we stressed out for when he's in the house. We need a time of the day. This family come together. And we talk to him. Now listen. When you talk to them, you ain't got to talk to them like these deacons talk to them and these preachers talk to them. You ain't got to be moaning and groaning. This evening I have the finest once moan again. Be coming, hum. Sound like we're the Indian powwow. Hum. You ain't got to talk to him like that. We don't talk to each other like that. What's going on, my brother? Good to see you, man. All right, dog. Yeah, man. I like the tie you got on. Good to see you tonight. Don't talk to your wife like that. Good morning, baby. How you doing, sugar? Give me a kiss. Woo. Oh, that was good, baby. That was good. Oh, that was good. Ooh, that was good. You gotta talk to him like that. You just talk to them like you talk to them. I love telling that story because every third Sunday the youth at this one church would do devotion. And they needed one of them youth to pray. And they couldn't find one. And there was a little six-year-old girl. And they said, baby, will you pray for us this morning? She said, I'll do it. No problem. Y'all want me to pray? I pray. No problem. I'll do it. I said, okay, baby. Okay. You're going to pray for us this morning. Okay, no problem. She stood up there. One of the youth sang a song. One of them read a scripture. He passed her the mic and said, go and pray, baby. She said, church doesn't pray.
A, B, C, D, E, F, G, H, I, J, K, L, M, N, O, P, Q, R, S, T, U, V, W, X, Y, and Z. Amen.
Everybody in church looking like y'all looking?
That girl was sincere. She wasn't laughing.
Kids were laughing at her. That Sunday rolled around. The kids like, get on the prayer. Get on the prayer.
She said, I'll do it. No problem. Y'all want I'll pray. No problem. I'll do it.
It's okay, baby. You're going to pray again.
No problem.
They stood up there, one read the scripture, one sang a song, they passed to the mic, said, go pray.
She said, church, let's pray.
Tears in her eyes, she said,
A, B, C, D, E, F, G, H, I, J, K, L, M, N, O, P, Q, R, S, T, U, V, W, X, Y, and Z.
Amen. She took the mic up. By this time, my church mom said, come in, baby, come in. She walked over there with tears. She said, ma'am. She said, baby, they asked you to pray. They asked you to say your alphabets. They asked you to pray. Why you say your alphabets when they ask you to pray? She said, mama, I don't know what to pray. So I just give God the letters and let him make out my words. He know how to spell help. He know how to spell deliver. He know how to spell provide. He know how to spell heal. He know how to spell protect. I'm trying to tell you, when you ain't got the words, just give him the letters. The Holy Spirit maketh the intercession. When Negroes are getting on your nerves, A, B, C, D. Conniving co-workers, E, F, G. Bouncy bounces, H-I-J-K. Hellish husband, L. Don't say hell, L-M. Trifling wife, O-P. Tell your neighbor, just give him the letters. Sometimes you don't have the words, just give him the letters. Tell the Holy Spirit, do the rest. You know what I want to say. Don't cuss.
A, B, C, D.
Somebody, y'all going to need that tonight when you go home. As soon as you walk in the door, where you been?
A, B, C, D, E, F, G.
You ain't been no church.
H, I, J, K.
So family devotion, it provides communication with God. Then number two, write this down. Family devotion, it quenches spiritual thirst. It quenches spiritual thirst. Listen, all of us in here are thirsty for something.
Yeah. All right.
Blaise Pascal, the 17th century French philosopher, he said all of us have a God-shaped vacuum that only God can fill. All of us in here got a void that only God can fill. Your husband has a void in his life. You can't fill it. He need his maker. Only God can fill that. Your wife has a void in her life. Only God can fill. Your daughter has a void in her life. You can't fill it. Only God can fill that void. Your son has a void in his life. You can't fill. Your sister, your brother, they got a void. You can't fill it. They need their maker. Yeah. They were made by God, so there's a void in their life only God can fill. I don't care how you talk to them, how you get on them. They need God. That's why you need to bring your children to church on Sunday morning. That's why you need to pray with your family. Watch this. The Bible says in 1 Thessalonians 5 that we are spirit, soul, and body. Notice the order. Spirit, soul, notice what's last, body. Which means everybody is three-dimensional. Your daughter is a three-dimensional being. Your son is a three-dimensional being. Your husband, your wife is a three-dimensional being. Which means you have to be able to minister to all three dimensions of them. Some of y'all just are ministering to the body. And that's last. That's why sex can't keep y'all together. That's last. Spirit is first. Which means there's a spirit side of them. There's a God side of them that you need to know how to minister to. That's why, husbands, you all are the priest of your home. A priest is a mediator between God and man. A priest keeps man connected with God. In other words, as men, you ought to keep your children connected with God. Hello, somebody. As mothers, you ought to keep your family connected. All of us are thirsty for something. David said, as a deer pants for the streams of water, so my soul thirsts for you. There's a part of me that just wants God. Just like at the time of day you want your wife. Baby, where you at? I'm just missing you. Time of day you just want your husband. Where are you? You headed home? Time of day you just want your kids. Where my kids at? How many days you just want your dog? Come here, boy, where you at? How many days you just want your cat? Gracie! Oh, Gracie! Ought to be a time of the day you just, I just want God. Ought to be a time of the day this family, we just want God. But then write this down. Family devotion, it also advances spiritual growth. Family devotion advances spiritual growth. Y'all listen to me. Private devotion is all right because it helps you to grow stronger spiritually. Family devotion helped this whole family to grow stronger spiritually. See, some of y'all be boasting about every morning I get up with God. I pray to God every day. And you in a family of five folk. Selfish you are. You I talk to God. Every morning I pray. And you leave out your wife. What use is it for you to be in the Word but your spouse ain't? You're going to have an unbalanced man. You in the Word but your children aren't in the Word. Family devotion helped this whole family to grow stronger spiritually. And many of y'all in here today, y'all make sure your family eats physically every day because you know food is fuel to the physical body. And it helps you to keep going physically. That's why you make sure your family eats physically every day. You make sure your children have enough money on their lunch ticket at school. You want to make sure they eat every day. Matter of fact, one of the main questions y'all ask when y'all come in after work is, have y'all eaten? Because you're going to make sure you feed your family physically every day. Well, what about spiritually? Because the Bible says, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeded out of the mouth of God. That's why your mama and grandmama used to make y'all say a Bible verse at the dinner table. And if you didn't know a Bible verse, you couldn't eat. Go learn one. They say an apple a day will keep the doctor away, where a scripture a day will keep the devil away.
Amen.
Hamburger helper ain't going to help your daughter defeat lesbianism. Hamburger helper ain't going to help your boys defeat drugs and homosexuality. Every time the devil came at Jesus, how did Jesus whip him? Every time the devil came, Jesus said, it is written. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeded out of the mouth of God. Devil kept coming to Jesus. Jesus came right back at him. It is written. Don't tempt the Lord your God. Devil kept coming at him. Jesus came right back at him. It is written, thou shalt worship God, him only shalt thou serve. And the devil left him. Now, listen to me, y'all. If that's how Jesus whipped the devil, y'all got another way of doing it?
Come on, preacher.
Y'all think worshiping, shouting can whoop him? The devil can outshout all of y'all. The devil will appear as an angel of light. That's why you got to get the word into your children. That's why we need family devotion. We not only need to talk to God, we need to open the word so he can talk to us.
Yeah.
Lesbianism is out there.
Yeah. Yeah.
It almost got my child. It got two of my sisters. Two of my sisters are lesbians.
Yeah.
Today you can't let the girls go in the room and close the door no more. Every door in this house stays open. Y'all can't sleep in the same bed either. Can't go to the restroom together no more together. You think I say, girls, you can let them go in there and close the door. Not today. Today you got to look twice to see if they are girls. I said to one girl, what's up, man? Had to look again and said, you ain't no man. Hey, sister. She looked like me. The word. Can I show you how to recognize the devil? Because a lot of us don't know how to recognize him.
That's important for a Christian and your children to be able to recognize the devil. That's why you got to have them in the Word so they can recognize the devil.
Yeah.
This is how you recognize the devil. When it comes to recognizing the devil, please hear me. You can't go off of how he looks because he changes his appearance.
Yeah.
In Genesis, he looked like a serpent.
Yeah.
And then, you know, he got into Peter and Jesus said, get behind me, Satan. He's a roaring lion. He appears an angel of light. In Revelation, he a dragon. The devil will put on heels and have a big butt and a smile. But that girl is poison. The devil will have triceps, biceps. When it comes to recognizing the devil, hear me, y'all, you can't go off of how he looks. You have to go off of what he says. And it's real simple. If you want to recognize the devil, it's real simple. Here's how you recognize the devil. Anybody that tries to get you to go against this, that's the devil. Some of y'all ain't saying nothing because you just saw him. He just texted you. Anybody that tries to get you to go against this, that's the devil. What did he say to Eve? Did God say you can't eat of this tree? She knew the word. God said, we can't eat this tree. We eat of it, we gonna die. What'd he say? You ain't gonna die. You ain't gonna die. God just knows the day you eat of it, you're gonna be as a God, knowing good and evil. And she saw it was pleasant to the eyes, a fruit desired to make one wise. She partook of it, gave to her husband. They lost their home. One son killed another son.
Come on.
Anybody that tries to get you to go against this, that's the devil. That's why you got to get your children in this so that they'll be able to recognize the devil.
And even tonight, watch this. Even tonight, you're going to make your kids take a bath. Get that water. You're going to make them take a bath. Get that water.
I don't hear no water running. Take a bath.
You know why you're going to make them get in that water? Because you don't want them to be dirty. You don't want them to be nasty. You don't want them to be filthy. Every day you make them get in that water.
You are a young lady. Take a bath.
You're on it, Doug. Come on.
Ooh, Lord. And you got to make them. You are a young man. Get in the bathtub. Nobody want no filthy man. Get in the bathtub. Nobody going to like you and you smelling and dirty. Get in the water.
Yeah. Because you know, water will help you be clean physically. Well, Jesus said in John 15, you are now clean by the word I've spoken. which means what water is to your physical body, that's what the word of God is to your spiritual body. And every day you need to get in the word so you can be clean spiritually. Not just physically, spiritually. When it comes to the word of God, too many folk like taking washouts. And y'all know what Big Mama called washouts. You know, when you take a washout, you just get a little bit of the water and hit them hot spots. The thing about washouts is they don't last long. A washout don't last long. It'll eventually tell off on you. You ain't been in that water. Some of y'all in here taking a washout. All that worshiping God, and as soon as you get the car, you cussing. That didn't last long at all, girl. Didn't we just leave the church? You cussing already? You took a washout in there. You get home going at it. Baby, we just left the church. You. That didn't last long at all. But then when it comes to the word of God, some folks take showers. It's better than a washout. But when you take a shower, you on a time limit. Some of you take a shower, you're almost in a posture of praise. Somebody right now is on a time limit. Hope you ain't going to be up there all night. Hope we out of here before 9. My Lord, he good, but he long-winded. Some of y'all laughing because how do you know we said that? I told one brother, he came to me, he said, Bailey, let me tell you something, man. You're a good preacher, you're preaching, you're doing good. It's just one problem. I said, what's that? You're too long. You're too long. You're long-winded. That's your only problem. The average attention span is about 20 minutes. If you can keep it 20 minutes, because that's the only problem, you're too long. I said, Pop, with all due respect, I've been to college and high school, and I've never been in a class that was 20 minutes. Some college courses are 2 hours. Listening to a boring teacher, now turn here. And you. Another word for disciple is student, which means you in class. I'm preaching, y'all ain't saying nothing. When it comes to the word of God, some folks want to take showers. They on the time limit. But then when it comes to the word of God, some folks take baths. That's when you run the water and let it fill up and put the soap in there. And after you put the soap in there, you get in there. Yeah, yeah, get in there. Yeah, yeah. Get in there. And you get down in it. And when you take a bath, you make noise. Oh! Oh, Lord. Oh! Woo! Mm-hmm. See, some of y'all ain't making enough noise tonight because you really ain't in the Word. When you really be in the Word, you're going to make some noise. Oh! When you take a bath, you abide in it. And it abides in you. That's what Jesus was talking about when he said, abide in my word and let my word abide in you. Then you can ask what you will. You get out that bathtub, you let the water out, go put on that other stuff. Then you come back to clean that bathtub, you say, woo, look where the Lord brought me from. I didn't know I was that messed up. If it had not been for the Lord on my side. So look back and wonder how I made it over. Go to make your neighbor mad. Look at him and say, take a bath. And then family devotion is a time of the day when this family come together. We need a time of the day. We come together to talk to each other and talk with the Lord. Because the Bible says a house divided against itself will not stand.
Amen.
Y'all listen to me good. The devil is dividing our homes, and one way he's doing it is through technology. Back in the day, you used to have just one TV, and everybody sat around that one TV. But at least y'all were together. You knew what each other was looking at. You were looking at it together. And there was a certain time of the night that TV would go off. And you heard the Star Spangled Banner with the American flag. Dun, 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 dun. Time to go to bed. That's all she wrote for the night. Now look at us. Now look at us. That one-eyed demon. TV. That one-eyed demon is dividing home. You got a TV in the bedrooms, in the kitchen, in the laundry room, in the garage.
Everywhere.
We divided. Mama back there watching Scandal. And y'all ought to be ashamed of y'allself. I ain't never seen that many Christians for adultery in my life. Come on, Mr. President, get with Olivia. Ain't nobody for the president's marriage. Y'all pray for the first lady. Mama back there watching Scandal, daddy up there watching Sports Center, daughter back there on the computer, son up there on the Xbox. We divided. I don't even know why we bought a dinner table. We don't ever eat at it. You got TV trays now. Folks taking the food back to their room, and you wonder why you got ants and roaches and unwanted guests in your house. Just the cornbread crumbs on the floor. We're not together. Even in the same car, we divided through technology. Everybody texting in the car. Everybody texting. Even a Negro driving texting about to kill all y'all. See, family devotion is a time we cut off TV, we cut off cell phones. We don't even answer the doorbell. It's a time when the family come together, talk to each other, and talk with the Lord. Can I show y'all how family devotion work real fast? And I want y'all to start it tonight. Pick a time of the day y'all come together. Give one of them daily bread. They free. Go to Walmart. Invest in a devotional book. You read the scripture. Read the breakdown of the scripture right underneath it. Isaiah 54:17, no weapon formed against us shall prosper. And then read the breakdown of it. And then ask your son, what you get out of that, son? No weapon formed against us shall prosper. Let him talk. That means God going to take care of us. That's good, son. Don, what you get out of that? No weapon formed against us. God's going to protect his family. He's going to protect me. That's good, baby. Wife, what you get out of that? That means God got us covered. That's good, baby. Honey, what you get out of that? That means we're going to be all right. God's going to take care of us. And then after you do that, after they all talk about what they learned from that verse, then take prayer requests. Son, what do you want us to pray for you? Math, I'm struggling. Son, God created math. He'll help you with that. Daughter, what do you want us to pray for you? Mind science. I can't get it, Daddy. We'll pray for that, baby. Pray to God give you a heart for science. Wife, what do you want us to pray for you? Got a situation on my job. And just need y'all to be in prayer for that. Honey, what you want to pray for you? I want to raise. I want to take this family somewhere. I want to get us another house. And then you pray with those prayer requests in mind. Lord, help my son with math. You created math. Give him a heart for math. You said if any man lack wisdom, let him ask of you. We're asking for wisdom for our son in math. We're asking wisdom for our daughter in science. Then, Lord, you know what my wife's dealing with on her job? Give her wisdom to handle that situation. And Lord, you know what I want to do for my family. With your help, I can do it. Lord, touch the heart. Give me a raise. Oh, Lord, even give me a better job. I want to do more for my family. In Jesus' name, amen. And that's it. Read the scripture. Let everybody elaborate on it. Take prayer requests. Go to bed. You can do that in less than 5 minutes. Also write this down, family devotion, it gives us biblical insight.
It gives us biblical insight. Every family in here needs to go through Proverbs.
Amen.
Proverbs will teach your children what a real friend is. Proverbs 27:28. Faithful are the wounds of a friend, but an enemy multiplies kisses. That's in Proverbs 27. Everybody kissing on you don't have your best interest at heart, baby. Proverbs says, even tell you how to manage your money. Proverbs says, pay attention to your flock. Give careful attention to your herd. Flock is money. Herd is money. In other words, you need to know the condition of your money. You need to pay attention to your money. Baby, why don't you play the lottery? Why don't you gamble? Why don't you go to this casino up here? Because Proverbs says, 27:28, he who makes haste to get rich will not go unpunished. That's why I don't play the lottery. That's why I don't go to this casino right up here near Hugo that some of y'all go to all the time. I don't gamble because gambling exploits the poor. It's amazing. Even in the casino, they got Gamblers Anonymous and the number up there. They know what it does to you. That's why they give you free alcohol in there, because they know if they can get you under the wrong influence, you'll make the wrong decision when it comes to your money. That's why they give you free alcohol in there. They want you to get drunk. Folk in there, they like their money. Their car knows. Their house, their mortgage. And anything you got to sneak to do, you know you don't need to be doing no way. Be in the gas station buying them lottery tickets. Hey, give me that right there. And as soon as somebody black pull up to get gas, go get them. Go get them. They leave. All right. Hurry up, man. Give me that. Be bumping each other at the casino, making up excuses. Yeah, if I win, I'm going to pay off my church. I'm telling you. I'm going to buy the church van. Some of y'all pray before y'all go in there. Come on, let's pray before we go in there. Come on, Jesus. Be in there calling on one for the Father, two for the Son. But then also write this down. Family devotion, it prevents schizophrenic faith. It prevents schizophrenic faith. I'm amazed at the wild and wacky stuff Christians believe in. We have beliefs that don't square up with Scripture. We mix truth with error. We are so superstitious. Somebody here right now got a rabbit's foot. Makes me lucky. How that rabbit losing his foot? Make you lucky. Somebody here right now don't believe in splitting poles. Be walking. No, come over here now. Don't split no poles. No, I believe that now. We split poles. Come over here. I'm down there in Louisiana. They believe if you bury a person's drawers in your front yard, they'll never leave you. Some of y'all looking at me like that. I'm going to try that, though. No. No, I'm going to try that for real. If you're missing a pair of drawers, they're probably in the front yard. Don't let your wife leave at the house tonight. I'll be back. Look at that shovel. Put these fruit of balloons. The Hispanic gonna be cutting your yard and knocking on the doorbell. I found some drawers in the... Are these yours, Holmes? That stuff ain't in the Bible. Somebody right now, ooh, my hand is itching. My hand is, oh, it's itching. When I leave church, I need to go that way. Oh, my hand. You ever thought a mosquito bit you in the palm of your hand? There go one right there. People scared of 13. Friday 13. That's why a lot of hotels, they got 20 floors. Pay attention. They ain't on number 13 in the elevator. Because they know people are superstitious. You got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 9, 10, 11, 12, 14, 15, 16, 17. Because people are so superstitious. They don't want to be on the 13th floor. But what these idiots don't know is the 14th floor is the 13th floor. Some of y'all looking at me right now. Thank you. Now I ain't staying on the 14th floor. You ain't tricking me. They know out of sight, out of mind. See, family devotion help you to know what you believe and why you believe it. I just ain't on the premises of God. I'm on the promises. Then write this down, family devotion. It helps you to know your marching orders. I'm going to go through these last ones real quick. It'll help you know your marching orders. Because when you read the Bible, y'all pay attention. These ain't suggestions. Ain't no suggestions in here. Ain't no requests in here. These are orders. See, family devotion helps you to know what the orders are. This ain't no orders. He ain't asking you to love your enemies. He told you, love your enemies. Bless those that curse you. That's an order. Do good to those that despitefully misuse you. That's an order. Bring the tithes into the storehouse. That's an order. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord. That's an order. Let everything that have breath praise the Lord. That's an order. I ain't got no choice but to praise him. I'm under orders. I ain't got no choice but to love her, love him. I'm under orders. And see, family devotion helps this family know what the orders are. But then write this down. Family devotion will help you share your faith. Because when you have a family that's in the Word of God, you're going to have a family full of disciples. You know what disciples do? They fish. They fish. So if you got a family that's in the Word of God, you got a family that's a student of the Word of God, they're a disciple, they're going to be fishers of men. Which means your children are going to be winning their friends to the Lord. Folk will be getting saved in your house, in your living room. Not just in this house, they're going to be getting saved at your house. Ain't it going to be wonderful when somebody comes to give their life to Christ in this house and they say, I accepted Jesus in their house. I'm just doing it openly here. The Bible says he who saves souls is wise. So you answer the question, are you wise? Who have you won to the Lord? You ask, are you wise? Answer that question. The Bible says he who saves souls, not he who sings and shouts and preaches. And he who saves souls is wise. Yeah. Now, are you wise? I've been, you know, I've been interviewed by other churches. You know, they want to know, you got a BA degree, you got a master's degree, you got a PhD degree. Why would you set a standard Jesus can't even pass to your church? Jesus didn't have none of them. Peter didn't have a degree, he was a fisherman. Andrew didn't have a degree, he was a fisherman. James or John.
Come on here.
I ain't never been asked one time how many souls have you won to the Lord. That's how you know if a person is wise or not. I never forget, I got to close. I got close. But I never forget, I went to go get my sons 2K14 in Garland. They stayed with their mama there. As they did good at school. And so I was headed up there. I bought 2K14 for them because I was proud of them. I drove up there. I called him when I got in the parking lot. I said, hey, Trey, I'm out here, man. He said, Daddy, come on in. I said, your mama now? No, Daddy, come on. Went in there, hugged my boys, Trey and Zach. Proud of you guys. Here's 2K14. Y'all keep up the good work. And they had a friend named DeMarcus sitting on the couch. I said, hey, man, how you doing? He said, I'm doing good. He said, man, they tell me you're a preacher. I said, yeah, I preach the word. He said, man, I wish somebody would preach to me.
I said, look, when they come up this weekend, you ride with them. You ride with them. Y'all bring them with you. You stay with us. Go to church with us. And, you know, you'll hear some preaching. He said, for real? Thank you. Thank you, Pastor Bailey. I said, thank you. I said, all right, boys, let me get out of here before your mama come back. Some of y'all so holy, y'all can't even smile. But I got in the car, and I started to drive out the parking lot, and the Holy Spirit messed with me. I said, that boy said he wished somebody would preach to him Jesus. Why he got to come to your church? Aren't you the church? How you know he got till Sunday? Calls said, Trey, hey, send DeMarcus outside. DeMarcus came outside. My boys came out with him. He walked over and said, sir. I said, man, you said you want somebody to preach to you about Jesus? He said, yes, sir, that's what I said. I said, DeMarcus, here it is, man. I said, there was a bus driver. He had 40 students on his bus. He had to take them home. But in order to get them home, DeMarcus, he had to go down a steep mountain grade. And while he was going down this mountain grade, DeMarcus, the brakes went out on the bus, man. The brakes went out. Now the bus is picking up speed. The students are screaming and yelling. The bus driver, DeMarcus, he's trying to keep the bus under control. He knew if he steered it to the left, it would go over the embankment into the water. If he steered it to the right, it would go against the mountain. The bus would flip. All souls would be lost. I said, DeMarcus, he kept that bus under control. And I said, DeMarcus, the bus driver, remember that at the bottom of the hill, there's a gate that leads into a pasture. He said, if I can just keep this bus under control long enough, I can get it down to the bottom, and we'll hit the gate. We're going to the pasture. The pasture will bring the bus to a slow stop. I said, DeMarcus, he kept it under control. Try not to panic. He kept it under control. He kept it under control, DeMarcus. And as he got down to the bottom, going fast, he saw that gate fastly approaching. But DeMarcus, it was a little boy sitting on the gate waving at the bus. The bus driver knew he couldn't try nothing different. All the souls would be lost. Lives would be lost. He knew he was going to have to sacrifice that kid, DeMarcus. I said, and so DeMarcus, in pain and agony, he screamed as the bus hit that kid, killing him on impact. Ah! And he hit the kid, killing the kid. But the pastor, DeMarcus, brought the bus to a slow stop. Police made it. Fire department made it. Parents, grandparents made it. Finding their child, hugging their child, crying, thanking God. I said, DeMarcus, after a few minutes, a couple of parents got together and found a police officer and said, where's that bus driver? We want to thank him for keeping that bus under control, saving our kids. The police officer said he'd been rushed to the hospital. He's suffering from a severe shock. And one of the parents said, you know, that's understandable because it was a fatality. The child died. The police officer said, no, you don't understand. The child that died was that bus driver's son. He sacrificed his son to save y'all. Yeah. I said, DeMarcus, that's what God did for us. Humanity was out of control, but he had to sacrifice his son in order to save you and me. I said, DeMarcus, do you receive what God did for you through Jesus? You believe he died for you? He said, yes, sir. I said, you believe God raised him from the grave? He said, yes, sir. I said, you just got saved right here on this sidewalk, man. If you die tonight, your name is written in that Lamb's. If you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, believe in your heart, God raised him, you will be saved. We're going to be getting saved in your house. Then lastly, family devotion. It shows respect for the author. Listen to me, y'all. Do y'all know the greatest compliment you can give an author? The greatest compliment you can give an author is, I read your book. That's the greatest compliment you can give any author. I read your book. And it helped me. It made me better. It made my family better. And when you stand before God, he's going to ask you, you read my book? How you not going to read your father's book? The author and finisher of your faith. See, that's why you need to be in Sunday school, because if you keep your children in Sunday school for 7 years, they would have gone through the whole Bible. Sunday school is designed to take you through the whole Bible in 7 years. And shame on you. You can wake your children up 6 o'clock every morning, 5 days a week, to go to Uncle Sam's school for 8 hours a day, but you can't wake them up one day a week to go to a one-hour school called Sunday school. Algebra ain't going to help your child with the devil. Science ain't going to help your child with the devil. Trigonometry, calculus ain't going to help them with the devil. They're going to need this other textbook. But I close. I'm going to tell you why we don't read this book. I'm going to tell you why we won't read this book. I'm going to tell you why a lot of people don't read this book. The same reason you don't read some love letters. If you're not interested in the one that wrote you a letter, you ain't going to pay the letter no mind. Because you ain't got a heart for the one that wrote the letter. You have nothing for the one that wrote the letter. You have no feelings for the one that wrote the letter. So if they give you a letter, you don't pay it no mind because I ain't feeling them like that. I don't like them like that. Every time they say, you read my letter, I'm going to get to it. I ain't feeling nothing like that. So you don't pay the letter no mind. But you let somebody write you a letter that you sure enough got feelings for. She gave you that letter? Oh, this for me, right? Oh, yeah, okay. Yeah, thank you. This for me. Yeah, all right. Yeah, okay. Yeah. As soon as they leave, ow! You be shouting over the letter. I ain't even ready. Just, ow! She wrote me down. You wait till you get home to open that letter. I'll go, ooh. You put some Luther on. We ain't all Baptists. You got Lutherans in here. Tell your neighbor, I'm Baptist and Lutheran. You put some Luther on to set the mood for the letter. That's all the choir was doing. Setting the mood for the letter. Y'all ain't praying with me here. That's all the soloist is supposed to do. Set the mood for the letter. Boy, you start reading that letter. You better stop. Get out of here. Are you serious? You get to reading that letter, you just put it on your chest and lay back. You meditate on what they said. Pull it back out. Every chance you get, you pull that letter back out. You be thinking about that letter all day. Breakfast, you be thinking about pulling that letter back out again. Get to a light, you know, stay red a long time, you pull it back out. You can't wait to get with the one that wrote that letter. You done read this letter so much, you done meditated on it, now that letter is in you. Matter of fact, you done hit that letter in your heart. Now when you get with the one that wrote it, you know I read that letter, right? Yeah, you know I read it. You know what you said on page 3? Third paragraph. Mm-hmm. Second sentence. You said, and I quote. You able to quote for them what they said. What about page 4? Now the letter is in you. That's what I'm trying to tell you. When you love God, ain't nobody got to make you read his letter. Matter of fact, you won't walk in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stand in the way of sinners, nor sit in the seat of the scornful, but you'll delight yourself in the law of God. And in that law, you'll meditate day and night. And then when you talk to him, you say, Lord, you said. You said in your word.
Hebrews 13 and 5, you said, you'll never leave me, nor forsake me. What is man and what can man do to me, Lord? Lord, you said, Matthew 28 and 20, you said, lo, I'll be with you always, even to the end of the world. You said you would not let me be tempted above that which I'm able to bear. You said in your word, no weapon formed against me shall prosper. You said in your word, fret not myself because of evildoers. They will soon be cut down and wither like the green grass. You said the Lord is my life and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Whom shall I be afraid when the wicked, even my enemy, came upon me to eat up my flesh? They stumbled and fell, though a host should encamp against me. My heart will not fear, though war should rise against me. In this will I be confident, one thing that I've desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord, to inquire in his temple in the time of trouble, in the time of trouble, in the time of trouble. He'll hide me in his pavilion, in the secret place of his tabernacle. Shall he hide me? Then he'll set me upon a rock. Now shall my head be lifted up above my enemy, and I'll offer sacrifices of joy. Yeah, I'll sing praises unto the Lord. Ain't got no right. What this family need is not another car. What we need is not another house. What this family need is family devotion. We need to come together, talk with him, tell him all about our trouble, tell him how you need him. Hey God, all right, is there anybody here that can testify and say, I didn't make it because I've been so good? I'm not here because I kept all the commandments. I'm not here because I've done everything right. The only reason I'm here, my mama prayed for me. Yeah! The only reason I'm here, my father prayed for me. Some of y'all are where you are, not because of you, but because your mama had a talk with the Lord about you. Some of y'all are blessed, not because of you. Your grandmama went on her knees, talked to God about you. Some of y'all are still here on mama's prayers. Some of y'all are still standing because of daddy's prayer. Ain't God all right? Shake your neighbor's hand. Shake their hand like you're going to shake it off. Look at them in the face and say, neighbor,
should have been me in the penitentiary. It should have been me in the mortuary. It should have been me in the cemetery. It should have been me with HIV. It should have been me, but somebody prayed. I'm closing, but I'm reminded of this grandma Marie. She started getting Alzheimer's. She couldn't remember her own name. She couldn't even remember her children's name. And her grown children, they got together because they saw Alzheimer's was getting the best of the mama. They said, y'all, we need to put mama in the nursing home. She don't even remember us. She don't even remember her own name. But her youngest daughter said, y'all, no. Y'all ain't gonna put my mama in no nursing home. Give me my mama. I got a little house, but it's big enough for us. Give me my mama. Even though she can't remember me, I remember her. I remember how she took me to church. I remember how she raised me. I remember how she prayed for me. Give me my mama. Took her mama in. Put special locks on the screen door. Every Sunday morning, she would take her mama to the house of God. Her mama would just sit there with this dazed look on her face. She would just sit down all alone. But every time they sang Precious Love, Take My Hand, something would register with mama. Her hand would go up. She had Alzheimer's, but every time she heard that song, her hands would go up. They would try to put her hands down, but she'd keep her hands up. Hey God, all right. One, two, there. One, two, there. The daughter forgot to put the lock on the screen door. She was in the back cleaning, and her grandma, her mama wandered out the house. She didn't realize it until 45 minutes later, when she came up looking for her. Mama, where are you? But she saw the screen door open. Oh Lord, she ran outside. Mama, mama, mama. Oh, where are you? She dialed 911. Please came out. Please find my mama. She has Alzheimer's. She don't know her own name. She don't know me. But here's a picture. Please find her. It's my fault. I left the screen door open. Please find her. They said, you stay here just in case she wanders back. We're on it. They started looking. Sun started going down. It got late in the evening. Hold on. When at 10 o'clock p.m., there was a knock on the door. She opened the door. He said, ma'am, come quickly. Get in the car. She got in the car. Said, I got some good news. And I got some bad news. She said, what's the good news? Said, your mama's still alive. She said, well, what's the bad news? He said, somehow she ended up in a tire. And she's floating down a river. We don't know how it happened. But we need to get to the bridge. There have been some men lowered down because the current is going to bring your mama right to them, and they're going to intercept her. We need to get to that bridge. As they were driving to the bridge, you can see the helicopter shining the light on the grandmama as she was floating in that tire down that river. They made it to the bridge, but the men that were lowered down, they said, she's still too low. She's still too low. We're going to need her to put her hands up. She's too low. If she'll put her hands up, we can kill her. The man said, ma'am, how do I get your mama to put her hands up? Said she has all time on her. I don't know how to get her to put her hand up. Mama, put your hands up. Mama just kept floating. The man said, we need her hands up right now. The man said, ma'am, can you think of anything? Can you think of anything that'll make her put her hands up? The daughter said, let me sing. Let me sing. Said, oh, yeah. Yeah. When I take her to church, there's a song that registers, that makes her put her hand up. The daughter said, precious love, take my hand. Grandmother said, keep saying it. I'm tired. I'm weak. I'm worn. They said it's working. She's almost here. To the light. Take my hand. Precious love. Lead me on. They say keep singing. We almost got her. When my way grows green, precious love linger near. When my life, lest I fall. You want to give it to him. Give it to him. You got a family. Give it to him. Take my hand. Precious love. Precious love. Precious. They started bringing grandmama up. Lead me on. Yeah. give it to them. You can't handle life by yourself, give it to them. You can't raise them children alone, give it to them. You ought to ask them, take my hand. I'm counting on you. I'm counting on you. Precious love. Children behind me, leave. I got mouths to feed, leave. Gangs are trying to get my son, leave. I'm trying to raise my daughter right, leave. Lead me on.
Listen, right now, right now, I want you to pray with your family right now in this church. I want you to pray with your family right now. It starts tonight. Right now. Get with your family. Right now. Right now. Get with your family. Get with your wife right now. The person you're in relationship with, get them right now. Pray with them right now. Hold their hand. It starts tonight. It starts tonight. It starts tonight. It starts tonight. Get with your family right now. Get with your family right now. Y'all face each other. Make a circle. Right now. Face your wife. Face your man. Face your woman. Right now. What do we have without God? Right now. I want one of you to start praying right now. Out loud. Pray for your family right now. Out loud. You're the head of that house, you pray with your family right now. Right now. Pray for your daughter right now. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Pray, church. 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 Satan, you can't have my son. Thank you, Jesus. This family gonna make it. This family gonna be all right. Thank you.
Hallelujah. Pastor Beatrice Bailey this morning, what a preacher, what a preacher. I enjoyed myself. I love a preacher that can make me laugh. I mean, it's funny, but he told the truth. He told the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. And so I'm grateful this morning unto Almighty God for the truth. Yeah, it's that truth that will set us free. And so I'm so grateful again unto Almighty God for his word, not our word, but his, because his word is true this morning. And so I'm thankful for the blessings, that he's sending our way. Hallelujah. All kind of stuff. Oh, thank you, Lord. We thank you today, Lord Jesus. We thank you. Hallelujah. Thank you for your word. Oh, his word is a lamp unto our feet. It's a light unto our path. That word will show us which way to go. Yes, it will. Yeah, it'll make the pathway clear. It'll shine the light, even in dark, so we can see which way to go. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And so we're thankful unto him this morning. And I thank God for the message of family. Yeah, because we got some. And we haven't been doing what we should have been doing with our families. And I heard him say the family that prays together, it stays together. Yeah. And see, sometimes in the family, children grow up, they become adults, and they no longer want to, you know, be partakers. This is why we train a child up in the way it should go. When he get old, he won't depart from it. And I was sharing about my family members, you know, Christmas time, birthdays, and stuff like that, Labor Day, 4th of July, they get together and party. But on Thanksgiving, they do a different thing. But let me tell you something. When we get together as a family, we sing. Yeah, when I come, A.L. come, Yusuf is there, Naima is there. These are the singers in the family. We get together and we sing gospel. Yeah, we make like a little stage. And they sing individual songs, then they come together and they sing a song that the whole family know. There's a song I taught all eight of them from their childhood. And until this day, if I just start the song, if I just say, when I was young, that's all I got to say. They're going to take it from there. Yeah. There's another song that two of my daughters sang for me that I love to hear them sing. Yeah. And I can be talking, you know, to some other kids, my other kids, and these two would just step up on the scene and face me and begin to sing the song. Because they was trained in the way they should go, so when they get old, they won't depart from it. But once they become adults and leave your house, there's not a whole lot you can do. Because they're grown now, and the law respects them as adults. So what we do for family, all family members, we keep them in prayer. Yeah, we keep the mean ones. We keep Uncle Charlie that's going to fill on all the girls in the family. We keep them in prayer because if God changed me, he can change anybody. Do you hear me this morning? Yeah. If he can take the worst of the worst and make them the best of the best, he can do anybody. Oh, yeah. It's just that we got to be sincere in our prayer and we let it go. Hallelujah. And God come in and take it up. And he goes from there. Listen, the studio is open. If there's anyone have something they would like to say this morning, please feel free to press that number one and come in today. And it's already all right. All right, good morning, Brother Frank. God bless you this morning. How are you?
I'm wonderfully blessed. Good morning to you and everyone. I saw the email, but I didn't know. I didn't see it until, like, yesterday. Did you get my two emails?
Let me look, Brother Frank. Oh, yes, I did. Yes, I did. Yes, I did. I remember that.
I sent you one this morning, but I guess yesterday I sent one. I also called the number, hoping that was the right number as well. Did you get the message?
I didn't, but I'll check it in a little bit.
Okay, not
yeah,
a problem.
I'll check it in a little
okay.
bit. Yesterday, I had to run over to the ultrasound center, and I went over there. So when I got back, this phone was ringing off the hook. And so I took one phone and took all the calls from that one. But as soon as I come off this morning, I will check all of your stuff and get right back to you.
Okay. All I said this morning was for you to send me this morning's program. I enjoyed it
yes,
to
sir.
The fullest.
Yes,
I
sir.
I really, really, truly enjoyed it to the fullest. And right now, like I said, this is the tax month, and I seem like it always the last minute when I'm getting it done, and I have someone doing it for me, and I'm taking them through it. So I have to listen in, and meanwhile, I get everything together because my day starts here at 6:30 in the morning.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the reason I'm listening in. But I'm not saying anything. I want to say good morning to Brother Anthony, Brother Lewis, Sister Samar, and okay, and Sister Sion, and all the sisters and brothers on the line. Everybody, good morning to y'all, and God bless you, and may all of his riches and love be with you throughout your life. And it's really good to know that we have a Father who loves all of us, and always, always, Jesus who died, blood shed, body beat for us to be well and be saved. Thank you, Holy Spirit, in Jesus' name. I'll be blessed.
Amen. You too, Brother Frank, God bless you today. God bless you. And I see your email. I'm going in to read it. We thank God this morning because he's for us. He's on our side in spite of us. He's always for us, always there for us. If we'll reach out to him, he will reach right back to us. Yeah. It says, if you draw now to me, I will draw now to you. So, yeah, that's what we wanted to keep going to him for every little I don't care what it is. If it concerns you, take it to the Lord in prayer. Uh-huh. Believing not only did he hear, but he's going to fix it. And so we walk away and we let it go. Yeah. Ah, thank you, Lord. Thank you today. So we're grateful unto him this morning, and we thank him. And we're moving right along. I have one more. A request, Brother Lewis said, hey, Brother Frank. So we're going to one more. And when we come back, if no one else have anything they would like to say today, I will pray us out. And we pray the Lord bring us back together tomorrow morning, 7 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, for another episode of Jesus in the Morning. I had something else here. I was looking for to see if I still have it. Oh, I do. We'll wait another time to do that one. But I enjoyed that message this morning. Yeah, that was good to me. Good to me. Oh, I love the laughter. Mike and Kia were saying, "Oh, that's good preaching this morning." Ah, yes, it was. Yes, it was. Hallelujah. So let's go to this one, Zicardi Cortez. You don't know. Hallelujah.
You don't know what I've been through. Let me share my story with you. All the things that he brought me through, my stormy days and my rainy days. You don't know all the tears I've cried, the things I've kept bottled up inside, trying my best to be strong, waiting on God and holding on. You don't know what I had to endure.
www.jesusinthemorningradio.com.
Hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, you just don't know. Yeah, many can tell you that. You don't know what I've been through, but he brought me. He took care of me. Yeah, it was looking real, real bad. I didn't think I would make it, but he brought me through. He did it for me. And you don't understand what I've been through, what I'm going through. But greater is he that lives within us than he that is in the world. If we'll trust God, walk away, let it go. Walk away, let it go. He can fix it. Because holding on to it, there's nothing you can do with it. But if you'll let it go, give it to God. Put it on the altar and walk away. No matter what it is, God will come in and he'll fix that for you. I'm a living witness. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. But there's none like him. None like him. None who love us in the way that he loves us. Yeah, unconditional. No matter what, he still loves us. Yeah, because he knew before he sent his son to suffer and all of this, he knew what we would do. Yet, his love. Hallelujah. And we're grateful unto him this morning. We appreciate him and we thank him for all he has done. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I got a couple more about Pastor Bailey, and hopefully this week I'll be able to bring those and we take a listen to those messages. And I just like how funny he is. Oh, I love it. I love it. And he can sing. He can sing. Yes, he can. He can sing now. And I love it. And so I'm thankful to it. Him singing one that says, ooh wee, another blessing. Oh, he sang that thing. And so every time I see him driving or whatever he's doing, always singing. And so I thank God for that. Because when you got the joy of the Lord, you're always happy, basically. It's rare to find you down and out. It's a rare occasion. Because the joy of the Lord is your strength. And you know you have him, and you're not worried about anything. You're not over-concerned about anything because we took our burdens to the Lord and left them there. Let me tell you, I've been in situations like before I moved to the project. I didn't know which way I was going to go, how I was going to go, where I was going to go. I didn't have no money. I didn't have no babies at home, and only women with children could get some help. But my 401K, they had took everything. Ooh, everything had fell. Woo! And so I prayed the prayer of faith and got into bed. Went on and took me a nap. Woke up to the phone ringing. In other words, I woke up to my blessing. Woke up to a roof over my head. Yeah. And God used me over there. And the strangest thing, he had showed this to me, and I looked at it. But I'm thinking the project, no, I don't think so. But I went on, and that's where he sent me. And what a work. What a work I got done over there. And so I'm thankful unto the Lord. Because when we don't understand, he yet can move for us. If we're willing, he know the intent of our heart. See, he knew I was willing. And he knew I would love those children like I love my own. So it wasn't that he forced it on me. He just opened the door, and I just walked right in. Blessed. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. So if no one else has anything to say, I will pray us out this morning, and we pray again that the Lord bring us back tomorrow morning, 7 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, for another episode of Jesus in the Morning. Hallelujah. Thank you, Master. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. We thank him today. Let's pray. Father God, in the name of Jesus, we thank you, Lord, for your word today. We thank you for all that has been said and done. Thank you for Brother Frank calling in this morning. Father, I thank you for the connection and the relationships we have here. Thank you for these, your people, this faithful few. Father, I give you glory, honor, and praise. And as we depart today, Father, I ask that you would bless each and every one. Lord, move by your spirit for them this day. Move spiritually, mentally, physically, and emotionally for them. Lord, move materialistically for them. Move financially for them today in the name of Jesus. We know that the earth is yours, the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell therein. Father, you made us the head and not the tail. You made us above and not beneath. No weapon that is formed against us today shall prosper. Oh, Father, we ask today that you would move in a mighty way for your people. I touch and agree with them for whatever the need is, for whatever the want is today, that, Father, you would move like never before in the name of Jesus, because we know you have ways that you haven't even done for us yet, and our eyes have not seen, our ears have not heard the things that you have in store for us. Thank you, Father. Oh, Lord, you're a way maker. Hallelujah. Because you are the way. Ask that you would do it for them. Bless our going out. Bless our coming in, Father. Meet the need in our lives today according to your riches and glory by your Son, Christ Jesus. Father, we ask today of you because we know no other. And we can't do it for ourselves. And, Father, without you, we can do nothing. We leave it on the altar this morning, walking away, trusting and believing you to do it for us. In the name of Jesus, we thank you. We give you glory. We give you all glory to you, God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Or thank you, Lord. Thank you. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. We ask it all again in Jesus' name. Amen and hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for hearing. Thank you for answering. Oh, we give you glory. And, Father, wherever Pastor Bailey may be this day, that you would bless him and bless his family in the name of Jesus. We thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. May the Lord watch between me and thee while we are absent one from another in the name of Jesus. Go today in love and peace. Share the good news of Jesus and give someone something of quality. God loves a cheerful giver. Have a blessed day. I speak the blessings of Almighty God upon you this day, April the 7th, 2021, in Jesus' name. So at this time, I'm going to say bye-bye and have a blessed day.